Most of us know what it's like to struggle financially. At least at some point, we recall the pressure that rises when we try to hold things together on a meager income. Yes, it's a true test of character. But today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us even prosperity has layers of complexity all its own. Sometimes the biggest test of character comes not in trying to make ends meet, but in learning to deal with affluence. In our series on Abraham, we've come to Genesis 13. Chuck describes a decision that led to a disaster.
Please turn to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, 13th chapter. I'll read the larger part of that chapter to you. Genesis 13 begins, "So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. He went on his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling them in the land. So Abram said to Lot, 'Please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is it not the whole land before you? Please, separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left.' Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord." Our hope is that our eyes will be opened as we think about decisions that lead in a good direction as opposed to those that lead to a disaster, as in the case of Lot.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download the Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called "A Decision That Led to a Disaster."
One of the goals of an expositor is to handle the Word of God correctly. Whether dealing with Old or New Testament, my responsibility is to be careful with the teaching of the text of Scripture, because it is all important. Not my opinion, not even my insights, but what appears on the pages of the Word of God. Now, every time I do work in the Old Testament and share that with someone, it seems like most people respond with the Old Testament, almost as if it's irrelevant or so ancient it's completely out of touch with our day. And when I hear that response, I realize that person is not acquainted with a verse of Scripture that appears in Romans 15, verse 4. And I'm honest here, every time I do work in the Old Testament, I remember, I deliberately recall Romans 15, 4. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Look closely, that we through perseverance, see the word? That we through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures might have hope. Notice the focus is the Scriptures. So we start there. This is one of those three-dimensional verses. It looks to the past. Whatever was written in earlier times, whatever was pre-written, the word is graphe. We get our word graph or graphic from the word written. It's the word used most often in the New Testament for sacred Scripture. Whatever Scriptures were pre-written, that's the past. Doesn't matter where they're found, Genesis all the way to Malachi. Earlier times, even the days before New Testament times, whatever was written for a purpose. And that brings us to the present, for our instruction. It's the word for learning. It's the word for explaining the Word of God. So whatever is written before is to be used for today's instruction. And please observe the two benefits that come from that instruction, and they come right now: perseverance and encouragement. We would say endurance and encouragement. You need endurance to go on. You need the Word of God. You need encouragement for your day. Right now, you need the truths, the instruction of the Word. Why? We move from the past, what was written, to the present, instruction to bring encouragement as well as endurance. And why? That we might stand on tiptoe with hope for the future. We anticipate what is coming in the future with great interest because we have been instructed in what was written to us in an earlier time. For that reason, let me assure you, there is no such thing as irrelevant Scripture. There is no such thing. All of God's Word is relevant. I can't make it relevant. It already is. My job is to help you realize how relevant it is. Now, my goal is not necessarily to make you optimistic, or certainly it's not to turn you into a pessimist. It is to make you a realist. God's Word is riveted to realism. Someone wrote it this way: the pessimist complains about the wind, the optimist expects it to change, and the realist adjusts the sails. I like that. A poet has put it in these words: one ship sails east, the other west, regardless of how the wind blows. It is the set of the sail and not the gale that determines the way that we go. If you love to sail, you know it doesn't really matter what direction the wind comes from. If you're good at sailing, you adjust the sails accordingly. The Bible helps you adjust the sails of life because the winds will often be contrary. As we have already seen in the life of Abraham, sometimes adversity strikes. And then other times, as we will see today, you are then tested with prosperity, which is a far greater test. But all of that ties into whatever. The teenager's word today is whatever. whatever, and I'm interested to find it right here in the scriptures, whatever is written in earlier times is written for today's learning. Now back to Genesis chapter 13. I get so excited about that I can hardly stand it. So Genesis 13 is full of information, but when you read it, you want to yawn. You go, oh, brother, we're back in Bethel in Ai. We got another altar built. We got Abram standing around with Lot. Where's this going to go? What is this all about? You have no idea the instruction that rests within these few verses until you dig into them, which is my job, so that you see the value, the relevance of what is here. And God says, listen now, here is my instruction. Genesis 13, my instruction. Learn from it. And here you will find endurance and encouragement for today. Take it, use it. And here as well, you will gain hope for the future. Claim it. Claim it. Now, it often helps to go back and do a quick little review. So let's start there. Abram has departed from Ur of the Chaldeans. That was home for 75 years. What do we learn from that? If it's all written for our instruction, we learn obedience. When God leads us to move from the familiar to the unfamiliar, we're to obey. So we learn that. We learn the value of it from Abram's life. And then along the way, you remember, he's built an altar here. Then he goes a little further and he builds an altar there. This is all in the first several verses of Genesis chapter 12. At each place, he stops and he offers up his prayers. So what do we learn from that? The instruction is devotion. The importance of staying devoted to your God, connecting with Him, praying to Him, listening to His voice, obeying when He leads you in that direction, not arguing, not wrestling, but trusting Him. And then along will come a time of testing, as it happened in the life of Abram. And Abram, rather than staying where there was a severe famine and trusting God to meet his needs, you remember this from last time, escaped to Egypt, which is a picture of acting in the flesh. The instruction we learned from that, since whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction today, we learn there are consequences with acting in the flesh. Why, the man even put his wife at risk when he said to Sarai, tell Pharaoh that you're my sister. And Pharaoh, seeing she's such a gorgeous woman, takes her to be in his harem. And then a plague strikes and Pharaoh comes back to Abram. By the way, you might wonder why Pharaoh would turn to Abram when there was this great plague that swept over the household of Pharaoh. Well, remember, Sarai was there in the household and she didn't have the plague. Isn't that a great insight? My wife told me that this last Sunday. I'd forgotten to mention that. And she, you know, the reason Pharaoh went to Abram is because Sarah didn't have the plague. I go, Dumbo, why didn't you see that? And I didn't. That's a great observation. So what have I learned from all of it? Don't act in the flesh. Don't turn to the flesh for your direction. Because when you do, there will be all sorts of plagues. You even learned a word last time. Homeopathes. Wasn't that life-changing? I love to go back to that word because it describes what it means to suffer with the same nature. So, before you think Abraham is some kind of special sacred category and you're not there, understand we're all of the same boat. We all have the same nature. We all have our own Egypts. We all have our own temptations and tests. Now, the one we're going to meet up with in Abram's life at this study in Genesis 13 is the test of prosperity. There are tests connected with that far worse than adversity. In fact, it was Carlyle, the Scottish essayist and historian, who wrote, Adversity is hard on a man, but for everyone who can stand prosperity, there are 100 who can stand adversity. Maybe that went by a little too quickly. There are 100 who can withstand the tests of adversity to only one or two who can bear up under the tests of prosperity. We do better with adversity, but when things go really, really well, it's easy to become arrogant, self-sustaining, conceited, greedy, and selfish. We don't have to. There are many who aren't, but it's easy to fall into that trap. We're going to notice Abram doesn't go there. Chapter 13, verse 1. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. So he's traveling along with his wife and his nephew Lot. Next verse. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. The Hebrew has an interesting word for rich, for wealth. It's the word kavod, K-A-H-B-O-D-E. The B is pronounced with a V, kavod. You know what it means? It means heavy. Heavy. We have the word loaded, don't we? Abram was loaded. He had a lot of bucks, silver and gold, and he had a lot of livestock. And immediately, if you're not careful, and if you're like most who live in our day, you will be envious of the wealthy. And you have no right to be. You have no reason to be. It just reveals how small-minded we are when we envy those who have much, especially when it's the Lord who makes us wealthy. There's nothing great about Abram's life that suddenly deserves wealth. He's just failed. How gracious of God to lead him into riches and to have his livestock grow and multiply. And here he is coming back into the land, and on his journey he goes to the Negev. How do we know he was walking with the Lord while rich? Well, keep reading. Came as far as Bethel, the place where his tent had been at the beginning. So he's backtracking between Bethel and Ai, verse 4, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly. And there, finish the sentence, Abram called on the name of the Lord. Nice. It's nice to see that. Here is a man eminently wealthy who still takes time for the Lord. This is no carnal, arrogant man. He is admittedly wealthy, heavy with this world's goods, but he still pauses for prayer. You see, personal riches are not incompatible with holiness in life. Wealth is not evil. Greed is. Remember that. Wealth isn't evil. Owning nice things, there's no sin in that. The sin comes when they own us. When we're no longer the possessors of it, but those things possess us. And how, unfortunately, how often we come across those who have become eminently wealthy, but it's never enough. In fact, someone asked Rockefeller years ago, how much does it take to really satisfy a person? Very wisely, he answered, more than he has. It's always more. Always more. That's greed. Rather than becoming generous with what God gives us, we easily become greedy for more. Another important word I want to say before getting into the tests of prosperity. Many ministries are able to exist because of the unselfishness of the wealthy. Admittedly, the gifts of all people sustain ministries. But every once in a while, the Lord will place his hand on a person of great wealth and will say to that individual, I want you to send your gift to this ministry. I want you to use your prosperity to help that particular area out. It sometimes puts us on our feet. How grateful we are for folks like that. Interestingly, most of them who give like that want to be left anonymous. So you don't know about them. What you and I hear about are the selfish and the greedy. But there are many who serve Christ who are as unselfish as Abraham proves to be. He is heavy with these riches. In fact, he's not alone. Verse 5 tells us that his nephew was also heavy. Lot, who went with him, also had flocks and herds and tents. So he's got plenty. And this is where there is a decision made that leads to tragic consequences. And the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were great that they were not able to remain together. Remember, there had been a severe famine in the land. Who knows in what condition they were or how much was available by way of a new growth that had now begun. And we've got the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot, both of whom have large number of cattle. And so there is a strife, verse 7 tells us, between the herdsmen. And along with that, you've got the enemy. Canaanites, the Perizzites are dwelling in the land. So this has the potential of leading to a real conflict. Riches can do that. Riches shared by a family can do that, which is part of the reason many who are in that category turn to greed. They, before long, stop trusting anyone else, and they realize they better hold on to what they have. And it turns into another kind of idol. But here we have two landowners who are dwelling together, and there isn't enough vegetation to feed all the livestock, and so they need to do something about it. I don't know if you remember back toward the end of the Vietnam War, a number of the refugees came from Southeast Asia, and many of them came to our state here in Texas. And because they were not adept in our language or perhaps in our technology, upon coming over to our land, they went to the things that were familiar to them. Many of them had been in fishing in their homeland, and they became those who fished our shores. And it became a strife between the people of our Gulf shore having to deal with more and more boats filled with those immigrants from Southeast Asia fishing the same waters. I remember reading about it and hearing how we had to work through the conflict because the waters would be overfished and to do something about the large number. Well, that's kind of what we have here. There isn't enough land to feed the livestock.
Chuck Swindoll is setting the stage for a fascinating turn of events for Lot and Abraham. You're listening to Insight for Living and the message about a decision that led to a disaster. To access the CDs for this series or the downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org. We often think of Abraham's story as an Old Testament account preserved for us in the book of Genesis. But actually, the Bible is riddled with references to this patriarch. In fact, in Paul's epic letter to the Romans, he cited Abraham's story to magnify God's faithfulness to every generation. Well, Chuck delivered a message on this topic called The Man Who Hoped Against Hope. And when you contact us today, we'd be pleased to send you a free copy on CD. Take time to enjoy the sermon yourself before passing it along to someone who could use an infusion of encouragement. Again, it's called The Man Who Hoped Against Hope, and it's yours for the asking when you call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8255. 8888. And online, go to insight.org/hope. This offer is only valid in the United States. As we close out another week of studies together, let me remind you that your donation is the fuel that accelerates this ministry across the country and even around the world. Be the one who touches an unsuspecting life with the hope of God's Word by giving a donation today. And to thank you for your gift, we'd like to send you a powerful personal story told by Carol Kent in her book titled, When I Lay My Isaac Down, Unshakable Faith in Unthinkable Circumstances. Her courageous story will remind you that God walks by our side, even when our own children make tragic mistakes. This book was chosen for you because it so closely parallels our study of Abraham. It's a story of love, loss, and redemption. If you're listening in the United States, ask for a copy of When I Lay My Isaac Down by calling 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org.
Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. I'm hoping you'll join me for a one-week adventure to the Alaskan frontier.
Next summer, leave your worries behind as you sail into the Alaskan coast. Join us on the upcoming 2018 Insight for Living Ministries cruise.
I can't think of a better way to re-engage and connect with your family than spending a full week together exploring, adventuring, laughing, digging into the scriptures for practical wisdom on family matters. And all of that on the backdrop of God's majestic creation.
Reflect on His power and beauty. Restore your marriage. Renew your love and reignite your faith through Chuck Swindoll's powerful Bible teaching.
Step into the quaint seaside villages of that wild frontier. Create a world of memories you'll never forget.
Come along on the Insight for Living Summer Cruise to Alaska, June 30th through July 7th, 2018. Call 1-888-447-0444 today or visit us online at insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Monday, Chuck Swindoll's study about Abraham continues with a decision that led to a disaster. That's right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Decision That Led to a Disaster, was copyrighted in 2012 and 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.